I'd like to thank this church and this committee for this privilege that you have afforded me this evening. I'm truly glad to be here. I'm very thankful and worthy to be numbered among the children of God. But I thank the Lord most of all for salvation and for the added privilege that we have to serve Him. I would ask a continued interest in your prayers this evening that God might be my helper as I speak. Allow me to say those things that would be pleasing unto Him. Maybe from time to time we I don't know, maybe you don't, but I do wonder why. Why I'm me and why I'm here and why now. Perhaps it is just for such a time as this. No, we'll take the perhaps off of it. It is for such a time as this. And that is the title of my lesson this evening, For Such a Time as This, A Study of Esther. This book, perhaps more than any other, has had its canonicity challenged. Does it really merit a place in the Word of God? This question has been asked perhaps principally because in the entire book, the name of God is not mentioned. On the other hand, the name of a heathen king is mentioned over 150 times. However, I think after you examine this book to any length at all, you will come to the conclusion that indeed it is intended to be there by God. This book is held in very high esteem by Judaism because it shows forth the providence of God in taking care of His people, especially in adverse conditions. It shows the humbling of the proud and the exalting of the lowly, the saving of those that trust in the Lord. It shows the origin and the foundation of Judaism's Feast of Purim, which is still celebrated by that people to this day. The entirety of this book probably covers a time no longer than 10 or 11 years. As a reading lesson, I'll refer you to the entire book. I'm not going to take a reading lesson in the beginning. We will look at some verses as we go through it. It's very easy to get through it. Just a few chapters. Very easy, I find, to read because I find it very interesting. We find in the beginning that the king, Ahasuerus, was refused. Queen Vashti, his queen, refused when he called her into his presence. God was refused one time. He was refused the obedience that he required of the man that he created. This was a sin against God and all of creation. The whole creation was thus marred because of this disobedience. The 16th verse of the first chapter of Esther, and Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. There would have to be another one better than Vashti to belong to the king. God had made man in His own image that he might have communion with Him. And man had disobeyed. He'd become a sinner. He'd become separated. He was no longer like God in that he was in a state of holiness. And so that communion was broken. And so we find that there would have to be a people that would rise up, another. One in a state of holiness, one that, as we read in the Word of God later, is born again in the likeness of God. Being born in a state of holiness where that they then could go in and be with the King and enjoy His communion. In the newness of life, in a state of holiness, to again enjoy the fellowship with the king. The 19th verse of the first chapter of Esther says, if it please the king, let there go out a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. You see, once we become a sinner, we are no longer worthy to go into the sight of the king. We are expelled. And if it were not for the plan of grace, every one of us would always, eternally be separated from God. Is not that the essence of the punishment of sin? Depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. Remember when God came into the garden? He said, Adam, where art thou? Now, he knew where Adam was. He knew all about him. But you see, in a very real way, he had become separated. A new queen in Persia was chosen. Esther was an orphan girl. Her parents probably being lost in war, and she was a captive, slave girl from Jerusalem. And she had been taken by her cousin, who was somewhat a generation older than her. He was several years older than her, apparently. His name was Mordecai, and she became, in fact, for practical purposes, his daughter. One of the few instances we find in the Word of God of adoption. Christ establishes and cares for His church and for every one of His people. You see, it is through Him that we are born again, that we are made anew, that we are born in such a manner that we are acceptable unto the King, and Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It is through Him that we are born again. And He watched for her and cared for her. Second chapter of Esther, the 7th verse. And He brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, His uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Esther was one of the fair young virgins that were sought for the king. She was taken to Shushan, the palace of the king's consideration for a new queen. As mentioned, she was a very beautiful young woman. The Lord's people, and His church especially, are given a beauty and a favor for a very special purpose. God's people, being made in a state of holiness and being born that way and sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, their souls are pleasing to God. Very, very favorable. So much so that they are fit to go to heaven. Just as we are when God saves us, we're ready to go to heaven. And we're kept that way by the Holy Spirit of God. And not only does God give us favor with Himself, I believe that God gives us favor with the world. There's nothing that's more attractive than God's children when they are in tune with the Lord. You know what? We need to get lost people into the house of the Lord. Now, I'm not opposed to activities. I think anybody knows me very well knows that. I'm not opposed to that. But that's not the way you get people into the house of the Lord. You get people in the house of the Lord with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is attractive to people. It makes people beautiful in the eyes of the Lord and even attractive unto the world. You know, there's nothing, I don't think, on the face of this earth that is more beautiful than the church of the living God that is in tune with the Lord. It's going to be beautiful one day, and her beauty is going to be manifested to all of creation. But once in a while, through eyes of faith, even while we walk on this earth in our imperfection, we find that she is something that is beautiful to behold. Esther, the 2nd chapter in the 8th verse. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. During the months of preparation, Esther found favor with this keeper of the women. As I mentioned a while ago, God's people are given by God an attractiveness to the world. You know, if we live the way that God would have for us to, people look at God's people and they see that there is a difference. This woman shone above all of the others. No doubt there were many beautiful women throughout that kingdom that had been all gathered together. But there was one that stood up above all of the others. There are many different isms and religions in this world today. People might say, well, why is one different than the other? One of them is of God. And men recognize that this one is different. Why? Because it is enhanced by the Holy Spirit of God and has the witness of God. That's for a purpose. You know, as we're going to find out later, God gave Esther this wonderful beauty for a purpose. It wasn't for her own glory. It wasn't that she might gain, but it was to be used by God. Whatever it is that God gives us, it's probably not physical attractiveness in most cases, but whatever God gives to us, He gives it to us for a purpose. Not for our own gain, but for His glory. Whether it be the ability to think, the ability to speak, any faculties that the Lord may give us, it is for a purpose that it might be used for the good of God's cause and God's people and for a lost world. I'd like to also note that every day, Mordecai checked on her welfare, unknown to others, but every day he checked on her. We have some wonderful promises from our Savior. While he was here in the flesh and before he returned to heaven, he promised that he would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. That promise is both to the individual saint and especially to his church. We may grow far from the Lord, but it is not because He left us. It is perhaps because we have turned our back on Him. He's still there. Sometimes we're not aware of the fact that He is there. But I believe it was very comforting in this strange place, in these strange happenings, that every day her father figure was there checking upon her. Isn't it wonderful when we go into the newness of each new day, not knowing what we will face, that we have a Jesus that we know is there, to whom we can petition and to whom we can counsel and to whom we can go and ask our questions and tell our fears, whose advice we can seek. Christ continually cares for those whom He has adopted into His family. You see, she wasn't His natural born daughter, but she was His. He had adopted her. We are born again and we are adopted legally into the family of God, and Jesus cares for us. We are His family member and He watches over us. And again, especially His church. When Esther went before the king, she required no special beauty enhancements. These women were allowed whatever, you know, I'll be more beautiful if I have this or that, and that was given to them. Came to Esther, what is it that you need? I don't need anything. I don't need the enhancements of this world. Lord's church doesn't need the things of this world to be attractive unto men. Amen. She has that given to her by God. People go to great lengths to make themselves beautiful. This woman didn't have to. God made her beautiful. He made her beautiful for a purpose, just like He did the children of God, just like He does His church today. She doesn't need the things of the world. She doesn't need the trinkets of religion. Esther, the second chapter in the 15th verse. And when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing. but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. You know, a lot of people in this world scorn the large church and his people. But there's a testimony that God's people have and an influence when they live the way they should. The beauty is there. Sometimes we don't allow it to shine out. We cover it with the makeup of this world. Isn't it awful to take a pretty girl? And I used to teach middle school. Girls are just learning how to be women, you know. And you take the prettiest face sometimes and garb it up the most awfulest you can imagine. I think, what a shame to take a face like that and put all that pancake makeup on it. Don't we do that as God's children? Take the most beautiful face and put all kinds of things of the world on it. What God wants us to do is let that shine out that he's put down within. Amen. To let the beauty that the Lord put there, it's pleasing to God and it will be attractive unto lost men. Esther found favor, not only in everyone else's eyes, but she found favor in the eyes of the king. Now, in this instance, that was the most important thing. It was significant that the keeper of the women found her favorable. It was significant that all that were around her found her favorable. But what it was all about was what the king thought. That's what it's all about today, is what the king thinks. What does God think about me? You know, so much of the time we're concerned about what other men think. And God can use that. But what is important is what the king thinks. That's why she was there. That's why she had been put in this place. That's why she prepared for a year, was that to find out what the opinion of the king were. Believers, and especially the Lord's church, have special favor with the eternal king. Esther, the second chapter and the 17th verse. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. The old man is gone. He's passed away. Lost favor with God. And God has made it anew. All that's old is gone, and all that is new. We're born again in the likeness of God, and God finds favor with that. Nothing that we've done, but what God has made us. He has made us beautiful in his sight. We are exactly what he wants. We are made in his likeness. By the way, we'd lose that except the Spirit of God seals us until the day of redemption. Now, Esther did not reveal her kindred or her people. Esther, the second chapter and 20th verse. Esther had not showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. Mordecai performs a recorded but an unnoticed service to the king. Mordecai heard of a plot against the king and reported it to Esther. A couple of men were planning to assassinate the king. And he heard about it and he told Esther. And Esther took this to the proper place. Esther, the second chapter and 22nd, 23rd verse. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the thing thereof in Mordecai's name. Notice that. She certified it in the name of the king. Lord's church can have great influence. Great influence. Something's going to happen with this a little later. But it's very important that we notice now the place that Esther had. You see, already she is in a place where that she can lift up her stepfather. God puts his people in a place that they can glorify our Savior, if we will. Amen. All this was done, by the way, unnoticed. There's a lot of things happen down in our heart that is unnoticed. One day soon, all these things are going to be manifested. And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged, these insurrectionists, on a tree. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Never noticed. The wonderful acts of Jesus Christ in relation to his Father have largely gone unnoticed by the world, but they're well recorded in eternity. I know one of those things. One of those things happened right down in the depths of my soul. You go read February 25th, 1956, read the newspaper. You're not going to find out in that newspaper that a little 9-year-old boy was saved in Springfield, Missouri. But it's recorded in heaven. Every one of the saints of God got saved somewhere. And it went unnoticed largely, but one day soon it will be noticed. It'll be manifested through all the ages of eternity, and all that Jesus has done and all he's done is good will be manifested. There's an adversary in all of this. Haman was promoted to be chief among the princes of the king. Men bowed in reverence to him, all except the Jew Mordecai, the first Adam. Bowed to the usurper Satan. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, did not. You see, we're all sinners. We've bowed. We submitted to Jesus, to Satan. But Jesus came, being tempted and tried like as you and I are, in a much greater way, and he without sin. That whole kingdom bowed before Haman except Mordecai. Then Mordecai was full of wrath. He thought first to destroy Mordecai, but upon learning that he was a Jew, then he sought to destroy them all. Those that are of Christ, and especially his church, will face the scorn of Satan. Esther, the 3rd chapter and 6th verse. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. And it was decreed that all the Jews would be destroyed. Satan seeks to destroy all mankind. Now letters were sent by post unto all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. This caused great sorrow at this approaching doom. Brethren, there is a decree that has gone out that men are going to die on the 13th day of the 12th month. Men are going to be destroyed. It is sure. It has been declared. It has been decreed. Why? Because of the sin of the world. When Mordecai pursued all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And Queen Esther was ashamed of him. She was afraid of what was happening, and she sent out appropriate clothing for him to put on. Are we ashamed of Christ? Sometimes. Mordecai instructed Esther that she should go before the king and plead for the sake of the people. He refused those, and he said, Esther, you've got to go unto the king. You've got to go before him. He gave her a copy of the writing of the decree that was given unto Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her and to charge her that she should go unto the king to make supplication unto him, to make request before him for her people. Esther protested. Esther said, it's against the law. If you go in before the king when not asked, if he doesn't receive you, the result is death. It's against our nature to go to God. You know when I was lost? Before I was ever lost. I'd been made wise to salvation. It's part of my lifetime plans to get saved. I said to myself, I promised myself, when I get lost, I'm not going to do like I hear everybody these testify and say, I put it off and I put it off. You know what I did? I put it off. He said, Esther, he insisted that she go to the king. He said, for if thou altogether withholdest thy peace at this time, then their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. You know, the Lord doesn't need me in his work. He doesn't need me at all. God can accomplish his work without me. He was telling Esther, he said, God can provide the deliverance of these people from another place. He said, but if thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth, Esther, whether thou art coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. Brethren, may we consider that tonight. If there's one thought that you would carry home in your heart, would it be that we may be perhaps in the kingdom for just such a day as this? Why is it that God has put me in this world? Why has he put me in Bowling Green, Kentucky in 2007? Perhaps it is just for such a day, such a time as this. You know, if we know the Lord, we believe that we're not here by chance, that we didn't evolve here, that there's a great divine plan. God has a plan. By the way, it's being fulfilled. Amen. God will not be thwarted in his plans. He has a plan for you. Esther was fortunate here. She had a good advisor. And she's saying, Esther, maybe this is why you're here. Esther consented to follow Mordecai's instructions. Christ, through the Holy Spirit, guides and instructs his children as to their purpose in life. God's church must be resigned to God's purpose. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. Fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. Here's the second thing I want you to remember. And if I perish, I perish. That's the way you have to serve the Lord. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, bless the man that loses his life for my sake, for he's found it. We are to bear our cross that we might mortify the deeds of this flesh. Yes, we die to sin when we get saved, but it is our duty and our necessity and our privilege to die daily. Every day I think we have to serve God with this in mind. Perhaps this is the day that I am put here for. And God, help me and give me grace to follow thy bidding. And if I perish, then I perish. Evil hates good. Haman was filled with indignation against Mordecai, who continued to refuse to reverence him. Satan is filled today with indignation for Jesus Christ and his people. Haman was indignant about this, and he went home, and his friends and his wife gave him the perfect solution. Satan had the perfect solution in mind for his arch enemy, Jesus Christ. At the suggestion of his wife, he built a gallows to hang him on 50 cubits high. Kind of sounds like it's in his front yard. It's at his house anyway. Satan had the perfect plan to get rid of Christ. Going to do it on a cross. Jews thought they were going to get rid of him. Thought they was going to end this Christ. What honor and dignity have been done to Mordecai for the king. You know, Mordecai was I mean, Haman was flying high, really flying high. Everything was going his way. He even got asked to a banquet by the king, by the queen. Going to be there with the king and queen and Haman. And one night, the king was sleepless. Couldn't sleep. So he got out the Chronicles and started reading. And he read that little incident we talked about a while ago. You know, that wasn't noticed? And so the next morning, he called his people and he said, "What's been done for this man?" They said, "Nothing." "We got to change that. What can we do? Who can I ask?" They said, "Haman's out there." He said, "Send him in." Call Haman in, and he said, "Haman, if a man had done something wonderful, the king saved his life. How could you honor that man?" Haman thought, "Hey, he can't mean anybody but me." He said, "Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth in honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'This shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Haman got his bubble burst. He said, "Haman, that's Mordecai. Do everything you said to do." Oh, you know, one day Satan is going to glorify my Lord. Woo! It's going to be known one day, these wonderful acts that Jesus has done. And Satan, through his destruction, through all the ceaseless ages of eternity, will glorify God. And you see, the church had a part of that. Because remember, Esther certified it. The king instructed Haman to do as he had said to Mordecai, his enemy. Esther, I've already mentioned in passing, had a banquet. Things were already bad for Haman. They got to the banquet. They'd gone through all they had to do, days. Finally, the king said, "Esther, why'd you call me in here?" Not in those words. And she told him. She said, "King, terrible things happen. My people are all going to be destroyed." She told him about the decree. Haman, of course, became very afraid. The king was so angry that he just left the area and went out into the garden. And Haman went up to the king and fell on her bed and pleading for his life. And the king came back in and said, "What are you doing? You're abusing the queen. You've done all this and you're abusing the queen." Immediately they covered his head, meaning his life was over. And they said, "King, he built a gallows 50 cubits high. He said, go hang him on it." The very article that Satan used to try to defeat Satan. I mean, to try to defeat Christ, to kill him, is the very article that is the destruction of Satan. All of the saints of God have been saved through the power of the cross. Through the blood that was shed there. So the very instrument that Satan used has been used by God to do such wonderful good and to obtain his eternal defeat. The work of Christ through his church accomplishes the salvation of the family of Adam. With salvation, there's also destruction. You know, there's salvation of the children of Israel, salvation of God's children. Another thing is the destruction of sin and evil. The Jews were saved and their enemies were destroyed. The saints will be eternally saved and Satan and sin will be destroyed eternally. Esther, the 9th chapter, in the 1st verse. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. Everything was in the Jews and Mordecai's favor. One day soon, sin is going to be finally overthrown. The victory has already been won, but it will soon be manifested. You see, there's been things that have been unnoticed, but have been recorded in heaven. All of these things, one day soon, will be manifested throughout all of creation. This great plan of God is going to come to an end, and God's glory will be gained. Right now, we're back where Esther was, a young girl. Actually, at that time, queen. Mordecai said, "Esther, perhaps thou art come into the kingdom for just such a time as this." Am I coming to the kingdom for just such a time as this? God, give me the resignation and the faith to be like Esther and say, "God, Jesus, I'll follow. I'll follow. And if I perish, then I perish." Amen.